It was an emotional moment at the state capitol yesterday here in St. Paul as the legislature, after a long debate, approved a law legalizing same-sex gay marriage. Minnesota is state number 12 making this change. And all around the capitol, there were signs of celebration as well as concern about the pace of change in this city and in this state. I stopped into a small print shop near the Capitol, and workers were busy silk screening festive rainbow posters in the shape of the state of Minnesota, all part of a big party today on the streets on this first really hot day of the spring. Here to talk about all things Minnesota politics, as well as some of the events on Capitol Hill, we welcome Congressman Keith Ellison, who's a Democrat from Minnesota's 5th District. Congressman, welcome.
Pleased to be on, John. Thank you.
How historic do you think this is, and how expected do you think this is in your state?
Well, this is a momentous occasion. There's no doubt many people have been laboring for years and years and decades. I have to remember people like Senator Alan Speer, who was a, you know, dedicated state senator for really a long time. He passed away, but God, imagine he's smiling today. But, you know, there were many people who longed for this day, and I think we're all kind of fortunate to be at this moment, but it comes after a lot of struggle. So it is absolutely a historic day. And really, it's the victory is to the LGBTQ community, but it's beyond that. It's for all of us who believe in equality and inclusion before the law. It's a big deal.
Is that a difficult argument to make sometimes in the African-American community in Minnesota? It's been the case in other communities around the nation.
No, it isn't. I know that there is this sort of stereotype that the African-American community is socially conservative. Therefore, this is a tougher argument to make. But quite frankly, when the anti-marriage constitutional amendment was on the ballot last November, the precincts with the largest African-American concentration of population voted overwhelmingly no. So, I mean, I think the numbers tell a story that is often overlooked, because often we look at what some of the most vocal voices are saying, and some of them were not supportive. Some of them were not supportive. But the overwhelming numbers of African-Americans are all in favor of civil rights for all.
Let's talk about some of the events on Capitol Hill. President Obama campaigned both for his first term and in the second term for a return to a sense of clarity about government intrusion in people's private lives. He was critical of the Patriot Act. I'm wondering if you think this story about the IRS is a clear overreach by the administration, and if you add to it the Associated Press story today, how much concern do you have about the Obama Justice Department right now?
Well, I don't have concern about the Obama Justice Department, but I'm one of those people who's always suspicious of every Justice Department, because I believe that it's the nature of power to reach for more of it, and that doesn't matter what administration may be in power. So I think that, you know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, and we have got to make sure that this AP story is thoroughly investigated. I mean, you know, as aggravating as the press may be to some of us sometimes somewhere, we need it. It's the First Amendment that guarantees freedom of the press, and that's why we know stuff in America. And so, you know, we've got to get to the bottom of it, because we cannot abridge this essential constitutional freedom of the press. Now, when it comes to the IRS story, I mean, Obama was among the first to condemn what he learned about this matter. And then the IRS apologized. So I think we need to now move to what actually happened, who did what were the consequences of it, and then how do we construct a set of rules to make sure that there is equal treatment for all. What I'm worried about on this IRS story is that the IRS will back off. I don't think they should. The IRS should make sure that organizations, 501c4 organizations, claiming that they are social welfare organizations, quote unquote, in fact, are social welfare organizations and not political electioneering organizations. As you know, when Citizens United blew a hole in campaign finance law, what they basically did is allow C4s to collect essentially a tax-free, unlimited money, as long as they said their primary purpose was social welfare, and then give that money to super PACs who could spend on essentially an unlimited basis. So this has really kind of turned our election system upside down and let money kind of just geyser through it without much accountability. Somebody in the IRS apparently got concerned about this, but instead of treating everyone equally, kind of went after groups that had Patriot or Tea Party in their name, which is absolutely wrong. And the president said so, and the IRS said so. So now I think we need to move to solutions. No doubt some people are looking at this as a political opportunity. That's unfortunate. What we really need to be doing is making sure that we insist on equal treatment for all and that we make sure that people who are electioneering and under the FEC rules, and people who are doing social welfare are doing that.
Well, certainly scandals and headlines and us annoying folks in the media love to produce
both. I love you guys.
Both. Yeah, that's right. But these are, and you've said the words, political opportunities for people. And I'm wondering if you could evaluate the Jonathan Carl question at the news conference a week ago. Has the president lost a sense of momentum here in terms of his program? And with these scandals, is there a sense that maybe, you know, this administration is a little stuck in the mud in the beginning of the second term here?
You know, I don't think so. I think that in every administration, particularly two-term administration, there are times when the president is in a quote-unquote honeymoon phase. There are times when he is getting stiff opposition, and then there are times when even members of his own party may not agree with what he's saying. Now, those things all depend upon, you know, what did we just have an election? Is there an election coming up? Is the president a lame duck? All these things will inform the degree of opposition the president's going to face. But I think the president's still being pretty successful. I mean, it looks like the immigration reform process is going well. You know, fingers crossed, you know, on that. It looks like, you know, there is some real success in. You know, we've gotten out of Iraq. It looks like we're on track to get out of Afghanistan. You know, hope that process continues. And we've seen, you know, success in other areas, too. But, you know, being president is a tough job, right? And, you know, the president's not a monarch. The president has to deal with Congress, has to deal with the press, has to deal with the bureaucracy of the presidency, which is all of the rulemaking process and everything like that, not to mention the private sector. So the presidency has never been an easy job. That's why they go in with dark hair and leave out with white hair. So that's the way it is.
Some of the most interesting television I've seen since the Boston bombings was a conversation between you and Congressman Peter King, your Republican colleague. Peter King, of course, who has been very concerned about homegrown, often Islamic, Muslim-born terrorism in the United States, or concerns about such groups, needing them to be scrutinized and calling hearings to that effect. Do you think the war on terror in the United States, the debate over the war on terror, has come down to a debate over civil rights and racial profiling for Muslims in America?
Well, there's no doubt that that is an important dimension of the debate. And I maintain that the law enforcement should pay attention to behavior, not national origin, religion, or even clothing. There is no connection between how devout a practitioner of a religion someone is and their dangerousness. In fact, you look at some of these people who exhibit dangerousness, like apparently Tamerlan did. I can't think of his last name at the moment.
Tsarnaev.
And he apparently seemed to be on the fringe of a religious community and was openly disputing with religious authorities. So I guess my point is, yeah, civil rights is always part of these kind of times when some folks want to associate bad behavior with a certain group. But we as Americans have to remember our constitutional framing and say, look, you know, we have equal protection under the law. We have a right to be left alone by the government unless our behavior makes us attract the attention of government. And so we've just got to remind ourselves of that. That's the debate between me and Representative King. You know, I think that, you know, it's actually, quote unquote, easier, you know, to just go after a group. But it's less effective as a law enforcement tool. As a matter of fact, I mean, if you listen to like Al-Qaeda, they're now looking for people who don't fit a profile, right? They're now looking for people who are not a stereotypical, right? And so to profile means to follow their head fake, and which is something that we should never do. The main thing to do is to watch behavior, who's doing what, and leads need to be followed up and questions need to be asked. And it's also important just to remember, you know, our law enforcement has to get it right every single time. Terrorists can get it, only have to be right one time. And so they have an awesome and difficult job to do. And, you know, they need public cooperation. And what they don't need is calls for sort of extra scrutiny against a religious class or ethnic class or anything like that. What we need is to focus attention on behavior that would suggest that somebody is up to no good.
90 degrees here in your hometown in the Twin Cities. You're there on the East Coast where it's nice and cool. Any suggestions of where I should cool off in Minneapolis on a 90-degree day?
I think you need to go out to Lake Calhoun, kick your feet up. You know, they got a great restaurant out there. Order a fish taco. That's my favorite. And like a nice glass of lemonade. You know, I think you'll have a great time.
Sounds good. To Congressman Keith Ellison, Democrat representing Minnesota's 5th Congressional District. Thanks so much, Congressman.
You bet.